I don't know about your kids, but my kids love it when family come to visit. And they get so excited that 45 minutes to an hour, maybe even sometimes 2 hours before we know that they're due to arrive, the kids go out to the front and they start preparing. They'll open up the door. It might be 10 degrees outside, but the door's wide open, ready to receive the family. And even to the point where they'll move dining room chairs around, and we have a big window in our dining room, and so they'll turn the chairs and they'll sit in the chairs and they will wait for the family to come. And they'll be there a while. They'll be there a while. They'll be waiting for a long time because we know they might not get in until 6:30, but it's 4 o'clock and they're ready. The easiest thing for us is to recognize that all of a sudden, when the family starts to drive down the street, what do we hear inside? They're here! They're here! And so we don't need to know if they're actually on their way or what, if they've made it to the driveway, because there's an announcement that's made in our home. The front door, which is now frosted over, gets flung open, and the family is ushered in. And it's interesting because the family even knows, wow, you guys were expecting us. They see the two chairs sitting in the dining room window. They see the two children that were pressed up against the window waiting for the family to arrive. What I just described to you is something that happens all the time in my home, but it's also something that helps us to understand Advent. Advent. This is the first Sunday in Advent. It's the journey together towards Christmas. Advent comes from the Latin version, which simply means coming. It's a Latin term, coming. And it's a time that leads us up to Christmas, and it's a time of celebration. We should be excited each Sunday when we get to light another candle of our Advent wreath. It's exciting to celebrate because each candle that we light draws us closer to the fact that Jesus is coming. It's a season filled with great anticipation, great expectation, excitement. Did I say it's an exciting season yet? I don't know how we can sit there and not be thrilled. You know, during the Lenten season, we do an extinguishing where it's dreadful, it's mourning, it's preparing for the death of our Lord and Savior. And it's okay to be upset and to be gloomy. Not until we get to experience the resurrection. That's exciting. But this time of year, we get to be thrilled with the anticipation because he's coming. He's coming again. So I'm glad you're with us on the journey. It's a journey that began over 2,000 years ago that we still can participate in even today. It's not just a journey of following the star, because that's what we're going to do, but it's a journey of the heart. It's a journey of the soul, because what the star does, you see, the star illuminates the light of the world. That's what the star did. It led the Magi through the desert, and it illuminated the light of the world. And the baby in the manger brings with him gifts. Jesus doesn't come into the world empty-handed. Not only did the Magi bring him gifts, but he brought gifts with them. And the gifts that he brought with him are hope, love, joy, and peace. Now, I don't know about you, but I could use a little bit of that right now, can't you? I can use a little bit more hope in the midst of the storm. I can use a little bit of love that never quits. Because we have a Savior whose love is so ravishing and so incredible that it never stops looking for you. And it never stops looking for me. I need a little bit more of that. I would love to have a little bit more joy in this season. I know you might look at me and go, wow, you seem like you're pretty joyful about this whole thing. But the reality is, as soon as I step off this stage, as soon as I get in my car, as soon as I start to drive down the street and I hit holiday traffic, joy seems like it's a foregone conclusion. Now, y'all are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. Maybe there's something that you're going through this morning and you say to yourself, you know, I could use just a little bit more joy. Maybe it's not just joy. Maybe you this morning are struggling and you're going through some stuff and you say to yourself, you know, I really would just love to have a little bit of peace. Not just peace in the world, but peace in our hearts, peace in our families, peace from all of the stuff that we find ourselves being overwhelmed with during this time of year. Now, our journey is going to center on the star. That's going to be the whole focus, which is an interesting place to be when you're a pastor and you make your whole series around following the star, and it's very rarely mentioned in Scripture. In fact, the only place that the star is mentioned is in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2. It's the only place that the Magi are mentioned. And there's a lot of speculation over the star even in itself. What was this star? Was it a star? Was it actually an alignment of all these planets that came into this incredible moment, this celestial moment that God had already put in place? The Magi recognized it as the king's star. That's the reason why they mounted up on their camels and they hiked across the desert. It took them a long time to get to Jesus. And there's even speculation of when they showed up at Jesus' door. What was this star? Who were these wise men? Who were the Magi? What does that word Magi even mean? And when did this all happen? These are questions. But regardless of all the questions, let me tell you the truth. The truth of this moment, the truth of what happened in that manger on that cold night, was that the light of the world broke into the darkness. The light of the world broke into the darkness, and the light of the star led people to Jesus. That's what the star did. The star led people to Jesus. That's my hope for you during this Christmas season, that we will follow the star. Because when you follow the star, where do you end up? You end up at Jesus. That's the beauty of what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. During the Advent season, I want you to look for the light. Look for the light. This Advent season is about the journey as much as it's about the destination. I want you during this Advent season to relate to the characters. Last year, we spent a whole series actually just talking about the characters. And what was amazing about that was all that we brought to life out of who they were. I mean, maybe some of you can resonate this morning that there was a couple that had a really hard time having children. Maybe you this morning can relate to the fact that it was a teenage girl that got pregnant out of wedlock. Maybe it's a father who may or may not be really sure who's the baby's daddy, right? Recognizing even in that situation that Mary had every right to be stoned and killed, unless Joseph stood up, unless Joseph listened to the fact that an angelic being came and spoke to him and said, "It's okay, Joseph, take her in as your wife." It's a crazy story. Think about this. Think about the greatest announcement this world has ever heard was reserved for a bunch of young, smelly, dirty, disgusting, young, dirty, smelly, nasty shepherds. The greatest announcement this world has ever heard was reserved for the lowest of society. I don't know about you. That gives me hope. That gives me hope. And all were invited to come and see. So what I want to do this morning for you and what I want to do in this series is I want to invite you to come and see. Can you do that for me? Can you just lean in during this Advent season and come and see? Because I want to tell you about this baby who would grow up to be a man, and his name is Jesus. So here's the challenge. Don't miss a Sunday. Don't miss a Sunday. Next week, we'll actually have our children's musical, and they have all been released to go, and they're preparing and planning, and they're rehearsing, and they're going to bring the gospel message to us next week. And so I want to encourage you to be here, because it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a wonderful experience. So I challenge you each Sunday to come, because we're going to have a different purpose of why we're gathered together, and a different theme during our Advent. So say yes to the journey. I want you to peer through the darkness and find that glimmer of hope. So maybe you don't have personal darkness in your life right now, but I think you could probably venture to find the darkness in the world around us. And looking through that darkness, I want you to find this small, small glimmer of hope, because it's there. And I definitely want us to step towards the light of the star, even if your vision is cloudy. To step towards the vision of the star. So let me ask you this question. What is clouding your Christmas vision? What is clouding your Christmas vision this morning? Now, I want you just to take about 15 seconds, and I want you to process that question. What would you say are maybe one or two things that's clouding your Christmas vision? The thing that takes away from the fact of why we're here, what we're doing, and the intention of recognizing that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who has come. What's clouding your Christmas vision? So for us this morning, it could be a number of things. It could be financial stress. Boy, that'll cloud your vision in a hurry, won't it? Maybe it's family and relationships. Maybe there's some dysfunction that's around you, or a dysfunction in your family, and you say, this dysfunction is ruining my ability to find Jesus at Christmas. Maybe it's the memory of a loss that you've recently experienced. Or it could be unrealistic expectations. The challenge of being parents in a society that says if you don't have the latest things or you don't get the latest things, then you're not the coolest parents. That's hard. Maybe it's school. Maybe for some of our teenagers and some of our students, it's school is literally clouding my ability to have a vision of what this season really is about. Maybe it goes even deeper and it's a teacher. Maybe it's a specific teacher that right now is just standing as a block in your way. I want to encourage you this morning. Hope shines brightest through the cloudiness of your circumstances. Can I say that again, church? Hope shines brightest through the cloudiness of your circumstances. And I'm going to tell you how and why I believe that. So let's get down to it. How do we follow the star of hope during this season? How do we follow, if this star is going to represent for us a pattern of a part of the journey, how do we follow that star? And today, we follow it on the journey of hope. Well, here's three things that I think that we need to be mindful of as we do that. Number one, we have to acknowledge the darkness. We have to acknowledge that there is darkness around us. Number two, we need to embrace the weight. I know you're like, oh, great. He's going to talk about being okay with waiting. Yes, I am. Embrace the wait. And the third thing is to commit to the journey. So we're going to break this down. The first one is acknowledge the darkness. Now, I have here in my pocket a flashlight. It's a simple flashlight. It's really not major. I mean, when you get these big lights, I mean, if I was actually shine this little light up into that big light, it doesn't even do anything. You can't even tell that it's up there. I mean, you can see that there's a flashlight, right? But it's not really that exciting. Now, I wonder what would happen if all of a sudden all the lights went out. So now I wonder, as we look around and we see the darkness of this room, things just got a little bit more challenging, didn't they? In fact, I have stopped moving. Because as much as I know my little 4x8 square up here, I am fearful that if I tried to navigate this space, my eyes, I can't actually see anything, and I would probably fall. If I told you right now that your goal is to get out of this room with all these lights off, it would be chaos. But what if I had a light? Now, all of a sudden, this light becomes really, really important, doesn't it? I mean, this one little light that you saw earlier could light the way to the exit. I could probably hold this right here in the center, and there might be enough light for you all to navigate around. You see, the interesting thing about the light is that the light isn't shining any brighter than it was before. Instead, the darkness made the light more necessary. Did you catch that, church? The darkness all of a sudden makes the light more necessary. That what if during this season, as the world looks at the star and says, there's no reason for that, that instead we recognize there is, and let me point you in that direction. So, for us this morning, we find our way. And they can bring the lights back up. Because again, I was really nervous about falling. But isn't that the reality of darkness? The reality of darkness is it clouds your ability to navigate safely. That's why we need the light. That's why light is so important during this season. The light not only just for the world, but the light for our souls and our own selves. It's amazing that God chose a star in order to reveal his glory. Throughout Scripture, God uses creation to reveal himself to us all the time. Let me just give you some references. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, it says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world." How is it that you can say so much without saying anything at all? Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4 reads, "When I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them." God's glory is seen in the stars. But the thing about stars is they can't be seen in the light. Now, you all know this, right? That even during the day, the stars are all still in place. They're all there. The reality is you can't see them because of the light of everything else that's happening around you. But as soon as the light is removed, what happens to the stars? They begin coming out. They begin becoming more prominent. And think about this. The darker the setting, the more necessary for the light. Those stars don't shine any brighter than they did when the light was on them. But you see the intensity of their light when everything around it gets dark. Are you catching what I'm throwing? Are you smelling what I'm stepping in? Right? Are you buying what I'm selling? I got more. You need more? All right, no? Okay. So for us, as we journey together, we must be honest about the darkness that we find in our world. We also need to be honest about the darkness that may reside even in our own hearts. So this time for Israel, when Jesus appeared, was a really, really dark time. It was a really desperate time for the people of Israel. And they remembered that the Old Testament prophets, that they foretold and they prophesied that the Messiah would come. But do you remember how long they waited? It was hundreds and hundreds of years that they waited with anticipation that the Messiah would come and save them. But in the midst of the Messiah coming, they were so oppressed that they couldn't see his light. They were so oppressed by all of the things that were just slamming down on them in this moment. Isaiah 7 tells us that, all right, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I mean, Isaiah prophesied and testified and wrote to the coming light in the darkness. Even think about Isaiah 9. In Isaiah 9, this is one of my favorite passages of scripture that pertains to the messianic prophecy that was foretold of them of Jesus coming to this earth. And this is what Isaiah wrote. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light might shine. No, a light could appear. It may show up. What's the scripture tell us, church? It will. Think about this for you. Think about this for me. Think about this for our world. For those who live in a land of deep darkness. Now, you can't relate to that at all, can you? You have no idea what I'm referring to this morning. When I talk about a land of darkness, you're just going, well, I don't know what he means. But think about this. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. A light will shine. Like us, Israel lived between a promise and a fulfillment. Like us, Israel was crying out, come thou long expected Jesus. They too were crying out, just like we are in that moment right now. We are no different. We are living in a land of darkness, and church, I will tell you that there will be a light that we need to proclaim. Just as they proclaim, come thou long expected Jesus. Jesus showed up in the midst of darkness on that first Christmas. And can you imagine the hope that he brought with them? For those who received the message and for those who understood who Jesus was, the amount of hope that came with him was huge. It was enormous. So, second thing we need to do. First one, remember what it was? We need to acknowledge the darkness. Second one, embrace the wait. Doggone it. Who likes to wait? Do you know, I pre-order my coffee now. Like, seriously, this is a thing. I literally order my coffee to be in a certain destination of where I'm at, and I drive up to the Starbucks. Yes, I drink Starbucks. I drive up, I walk in the door, and my hot cup of coffee is sitting on the counter waiting for me with a little name on it that says, Steve. Just in case anybody was confused about whose it was. And so now I walk in, I grab it, and I try to make sure that I say thank you to whoever's standing close enough, and then I walk out the door. And why do I do that? Because I hate to wait. And it's really convenient. So if I'm running to an appointment or I'm running to a meeting, I could just walk in, grab my cup, and I don't have to wait through the drive-thru. I don't have to wait for in the line. But you know what I've done? I've stifled my ability to connect with others. I've stopped being the light. Now, don't judge me. I'm still wrestling with this. All right? I stand up here vulnerable with you. I'm still wrestling with this because the reality is I've stopped being the light. But nobody likes to wait. I mean, really, we really don't like to wait. And so when we think about the act of waiting, I want you to imagine, I want you to picture a farmer standing out in a dusty field. This field hasn't produced crop in months, maybe even years. And there's been a drought on the land. And the drought is so heavy that the drought now is to blame for taking the income of that farmer, the income of the community. I mean, there's a people that are literally there in the middle of this dusty farmland. And because of this drought, because there's no rain, it's destroyed their lives. Now, I want you to think about, can you hear it? Can you hear it off in the distance? There's a rumble, of thunder. Could you imagine the hope that would come with that sound? That you would pray that maybe that thunder means that there's rain coming and it's going to come over onto my land and it's going to be the answer to everything that I need. Just think about the hope that comes from a farmer standing in a dusty field and all he heard was a rumble of thunder. Here's the coolest thing. If you look in the message translation or version of Scripture, in the message, Eugene Peterson writes in John 1:23, John speaks and says, "I'm the thunder in the desert. Make the road straight for God." He says, "I'm the thunder." He looked at a group of people and he says, "You're standing in the middle of a dusty field that hasn't seen rain in years, and you're blaming this drought. But let me tell you, I am the thunder. And guess what? The rain's coming." So I want to stand before you this morning and I want to tell you the same thing. That although we find ourselves right now in the here but not yet, we too stand as farmers in the midst of a field that is drought-ridden, that is dusty, that is in desperate need of rain. And you get to hear a message to proclaim that there is thunder in the distance and that the rain is coming. And you can put your hope in that. Advent is a time of waiting. And what do while we wait? We celebrate. That's what we get to do. It's not dread and doom and gloom. What do in the waiting? We celebrate. We learn from the mistakes of the Israelites who just kept digging their heels in and saying, "Forget this. This baby born is the Messiah? Give me a break." Think about Anna in the temple holding the promise and looking down and weeping and praying over this little tiny baby. And she says, "Behold, hope has come. There is thunder in the distance because the rain is coming." No matter where you find, no matter what dusty situation you are in right now, let me tell you, the rain is coming. We just need to wait. And I know, we all hate to wait. And I'm sorry that I bring news that you have to wait, but we do. And it's what we do in the waiting that makes all the difference in the world. It's what helps us to understand the future. It helps us to understand what's our destiny. It helps us to understand what the gravity of eternity is measured in what we do in the waiting. So what do we wait for now? I'm glad you asked. In Revelation 7, John tells us, I'm going to read verse 9 and then jump down to 16 and 17. He says, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation, tribe, and people, language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands." Verse 16, "They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun." Boy, it sounds like rain's coming. Verse 17, "For the Lamb and on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." That's what we wait for now. Then the Israelites were waiting for the Messiah. Us, we're waiting for the return of the Messiah. We still live in a space between the already and the not yet. And we can embrace the waiting in hope. I want us to be like the kids who move the table and the dining room chairs and sit at the window hours before we know family's going to arrive, all with a sense of anticipation that when the family does arrive, that we too can look out the window with our faces pressed up against it and going, they're here. That's the anticipation I want for each of you. I want us to go out hours before and to, you know, my dad used to say, "What are we, heating the whole street?" And open the door. let it get all frosty and cold because we're in such anticipation that the King is coming again. And that there will be rain in this parched land. And those who are thirsty will never thirst again. And there will be enough food that nobody will ever hunger. There will be enough water that nobody will ever thirst. That's what I have anticipation for you. But there's not enough of me to pour that into you. What are you waiting for? It's kind of like almost like a challenge. Like, what are you, like, get out and go do that. But it's not, it's an actual question. What are you waiting for? Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is confident in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So the question for us is, will you allow this Advent season to serve as a reminder of the confidence of what we have, of what we're waiting for in hope of what we don't see? Because that's what we're doing. So the last thing, and we're going to close here. Number three. So one was acknowledge the darkness. Two, embrace the wait. And three, commit to the journey. I know. You're all going, wait a minute, I thought you said to wait. Now you want us to go on a journey. Which is it? Which is it? Is it wait or is it journey, right? Well, here's the coolest thing that I found in my research. Waiting in Scripture is typically done while you're going. I love that. That's like great for ADHD me, right? Because it's actually waiting in Scripture is an act of going. It's a part of the going process. We wait with expectant hearts, but we're constantly moving forward in our journey. Great author, writer, theologian, priest, Henry Nouwen, in his book, Waiting for God, really describes the waiting that we see in Scripture when he says this. Active waiting means to be present fully to the moment in the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present to it. I'm going to let y'all, if you want, take a picture of that with your phone, something, because that's good stuff right there. Think about this. Active waiting means to be present fully in the moment in the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present to it. That's good stuff. That's an excellent help when we think about Advent. Waiting means being active, present in the moment, but also anticipating, where are we going? So, as we close, I'm going to challenge you with this verse found in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Because I want us to look at, how does this look like in our life? How does this translate into real time? What does this mean to us? And what do we need to do? So 1 Peter 1:13, it does a great job for us. It says here, so, but you know what? I'll just read it for us. It says, so prepare, right? What's another word or another statement for prepare? Get ready, right? What does it say? So prepare your, say it with me, what's the next word? Minds for action. Whoa. It says prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Now say the next word with me. All, how much? All of what? Your hope, right? So put all of your hope, we'll put our hope in what? In the gracious salvation that will come to you when Christ Jesus is revealed to the world. So break this down and think with me what we're reading about this morning. Prepare our minds for action. Exercise self-control. Put all of your hope. Don't put it aimlessly in other things. I want you to think about, what are some of the things you put your hope in this morning? Because what you put your hope in is probably a trajectory of your eternity. What are you putting your hope in? We put our hope in a lot of things. I put my hope in a lot of things. But I have to be reminded that I got to put my hope In what? In the gracious salvation that Jesus Christ brings. So the coolest thing, one of the greatest presents that Jesus brings with him in the manger this morning is the gift of salvation. That's the most important gift that Jesus brings with him this morning. It's the gift of salvation. No longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of, say it with me, church, if you know it, your minds. Prepare your minds for action. This season is as much mental as it is physical. This season is recognizing, it's acknowledging that there's darkness, not just in our world, but there's darkness in our heart. It's recognizing that there's that we need to embrace this season that we don't like very much, not Christmas, but I mean just the waiting. We need to embrace the waiting. And thirdly, we need to commit to the journey and recognize that Jesus is the only one who brings the gift of salvation. And he brings this incredible gift to us. It's a gift of hope and of love and of joy and of peace. Salvation brings all of those things to us this morning. We put our hope in a lot of things. But I pray this morning that you would put your hope in the one and the only, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus. Would you stand with me? Maybe this morning you have found yourself recognizing that through this process of what God was speaking into you during this message, that you too have acknowledged maybe that darkness. Maybe this morning you too have realized that I need to commit to the journey and realize that the greatest gift that Jesus brings us is the gift of salvation. And maybe you haven't received that gift this morning. You know what's the beautiful thing about that gift? It is free. It is given. It is given in the person of Jesus Christ, who wants and desires to be your Lord and Savior and to give you that incredible hope, love, joy, and peace. I just encourage you to bow your heads as we just close in a time of prayer. And I just feel very, very compelled this morning just to invite maybe those who you say, Pastor, I want to receive that gift. I want to receive the gift of salvation, recognizing that because of Jesus, I can be saved this morning. So with every eye bowed and every head or eyes closed and head bowed, if that's you this morning, would you just simply just lift your hand in the air? If you want to receive this gift this morning and you say, I just want this. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for an incredible service where we got to celebrate so many different things. But ultimately, Lord, it pales in comparison to the celebration of your birth, to the celebration that even in the midst of this dry and weary land, we can experience the coming rain. That even in the midst of our own hearts that are dry and weary and haven't maybe seen rain and we feel parched and hungry, that we can anticipate that, Lord, you are the rain. You are the one that gives life-giving water to our dry and thirsty souls. Lord, what incredible hope that we have found this morning in you. Lord, for those who raise their hands, I pray that you would speak boldly into their lives, that they would too begin to prepare their minds and put all of their hope into your gracious salvation. We thank you for that this morning. And now, Trinity, I just invite you to open your hands to receive this benediction. And as you know it, I pray that you would say it with me. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.